Thank you, Ethan. Kids can come on up, front with me today. We don't have Bible time, but come on up front anyway. I have something I want you to help me with. It's all right. It's fine. Okay. Now tomorrow is Memorial Day, right? Tomorrow is Memorial Day. What does Memorial mean? Anybody know? What? We remember them. That's right. Memorial has remember. Memorial and remember, they almost sound the same. It's because they almost mean the same. We remember on Memorial Day. But we don't just remember. We also want to celebrate. We also want to honor, just like that says right there. We want to honor it. And to honor something means you tell them how important it is. You show them how important it is. And so, in Bible class, if you're in Miss Deb's Bible, if you're in Deborah's Bible class, not Miss Deb's, all the Bible classes, you've been working on some things to give to some of the veterans in our congregation, to some of the soldiers and veterans. And so, if you've been working on a sheet of paper, Miss Deborah has them. And if your name's on there, you can pass them out to who they go to. And Miss Deborah will help you make sure they get to the right person. So, walk over to Miss Deborah, and she has some papers. If you don't have a paper with Miss Deborah, that's all right. You can still just go ahead. Oh, yeah. I'll help you. That one goes to Mr. Herbert. Right there. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep. It might not be enough for everybody to do it. Okay. We'll hold on to that one. See ya. It's all right. We'll hold on to it because he's not here today. I'll help you. I'll walk with you. Come here. Okay, and I want to hear one big loud, because whenever we tell them how important they are, that's thank you. So can you all say thank you on 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
We do thank you, everyone who served our country. All right, Monday's right there. All right, y'all go back and have a seat now. Thank you. They worked on those color sheets in the Bible classes. Well, you'll notice the table up here. And it's in the bulletin. We talked about it last week. We usually have a Memorial Day cookout in my backyard every Monday, Memorial Day, that we've been doing it now for quite a few years. And usually just a cookout, we have a good time. But this year we wanted to make it a little bit more significant, take advantage of the opportunity to have a tribute. And so what we're going to do is we have these ribbons up here on this table. And you, any servicemen or women that you know of, whether they are active duty, whether they're veterans, whether they have deceased, whether they were killed in action or just served and then died later on, it doesn't matter. Any branch of the armed services in any fashion, anyone who basically served our country in that capacity of serving in the military, write their name on one of these ribbons, and we're going to tie them on a line I've stretched out front here at the building, and they'll be tied out there and displayed tonight and into tomorrow, and then tomorrow we're going to take them down, and I'll read off the list of everyone who's has a ribbon, and then we'll pray over them as part of our cookout. So we'll still have the cookout tomorrow in my backyard, and they'll have lots of stuff there. Welcome to bring desserts, drinks, sides. We'll provide the meat and the main stuff. But hopefully tomorrow we can have a good time. And then we'll close with, towards the end, saying a prayer over all the soldiers, whether they have passed on, whether they've died, or whether they're still serving, or whether they're just living as veterans. And prayers of thanks and prayers for God to watch over them. So I hope you'll take part. Just as soon as services are over, if you haven't done it yet, come on down up front. Write their names both on the white sheet of paper here, because with the rain possible, I don't know how legible the ribbons are going to be tomorrow. So we're going to have paper to back up to make sure that we don't get anybody missed. So write both the ribbon, put it in the basket, and then the piece of paper there to the side. So, and then if you can, join us tomorrow. But if you're not coming tomorrow, if you have other plans for Memorial Day, still make a ribbon and we'll still read off their name and say a prayer regarding them and over them. Because we do owe a debt of gratitude to those who have protected this country, to those who have fought for this country, to those who have served this country. Two of the ribbons in that basket are my grandfather and my father. My grandfather served in World War II on the USS Spearfish. It was a submarine. And I don't know how many of you have seen Operation Petticoat with Cary Grant. It's a fictional movie, but based on lots of incidents in World War II. And at one point in the movie, they take on nurses. Well, women on board a submarine doesn't work very well, but that was actually based on the USS Spearfish. My grandfather was not on board at that time that event took place. He was not out on patrol with them for that particular patrol, but most of his fellow crewmen, and then when they went always to the anniversary or to the get-together that the veterans of the Spearfish had, they would talk about that event whenever they took some nurses on board to transport them to safety, even though it was a submarine in very, very tight quarters and not meant for separation of genders in any way. But he was on board that submarine, and he served through World War II. He came home, part of the baby boom, had my mother and my aunt, and lived for many years, died in about 2000. And then my dad, he served right as the Korean War ended, pretty much. After the Korean conflict ended in 53, that's the year he went in. And he served in Germany during the rebuilding of Germany because it was still pretty devastated from World War II. And so he was stationed in Germany for his 4 years of service. So he was right in between the Korean War and the Vietnam War. Both have passed on. He died in 1992. And so whether they're alive or dead, it doesn't matter. But their ribbons are there because I want to remember them. I want to honor their service. Even though my father never saw combat, he was never in battle, he still was willing to serve this country. He still put himself forward to protect and to do whatever might be called upon him to do. And my grandfather never saw a battlefield per se, but he loaded the torpedoes, and they did sink a few of the enemy ships from the USS Spearfish. So he was engaged in combat, but in a very different form than open field with guns. But whatever our veterans were called to do, whatever they were asked to do, regardless of what branch or type of service they gave, we're indebted to them because the country we live in now is a result of their service, is a result of their actions, is a result of their sacrifices. And so whoever you have that you might want to remember, again, it's open to anyone. And some made bigger sacrifices than others. My grandfather and father were virtually unscathed from their experiences in the Army, even though my grandfather did serve in World War II. He came home just fine after his service on the submarine. But not all come home just fine. Lisa has a cousin, Matt, whom Bryant gets his middle name from. Bryant's name is Bryant Matthew, and he's named for this Matt. And he was serving in Afghanistan and Iraq over a couple of tours. And he was the head of his platoon or group, whatever you want to call it. Not all that knowledgeable in all the different names of the breakdowns of the organization. But he was over a bunch of other guys, and he made sure that they were all taken care of. They saw some combat, saw some pretty bad combat, especially toward the end, and lost some of their fellow soldiers. And whenever he came back, he made sure that they were all hooked up with the right agencies and getting the counseling and all the things that had to be offered, but he never took care of himself. And as a result, his PTSD kind of sunk in hard, and he had some troubles, and marriage ended up falling apart. Not the only reason for his marriage failing, but did have something to do with it. And Lisa's mentioned several times, he's just not the same Matt. So willing to serve, willing to sacrifice, and maybe he came back whole on the outside, but not necessarily whole on the inside. And never going to be the same again. Still a good man. Still a full life ahead of him. And hopefully he'll continue to grow and to heal from all those things he experienced. But we owe a debt of gratitude. Someone willing to make that sacrifice. At whatever cost might have been on the home front. Who is willing to do what he was called on to do. And of course there's physical injuries. Frank was telling me just yesterday of the injuries on his from his shoulder, and he can show you all kinds of scars and places where he lives with some pain, some just soreness or constant pain from the bullets that he was shot with and from his experiences. Ron Marsh as well. He's not here this morning, but he has a bad shoulder from his service in the Gulf War, in the first one. And of course there are others, those who have lost a limb, those who maybe paralyzed, those who paid a great price, paid a great deal for what they were willing to give up again in service to this country. And we owe them. We owe them a great deal. And it was discouraging, and even it was an atrocity to find out in the news a couple of years ago, you know, that Walter Reed maybe wasn't taking care of the veterans in that hospital as well as they should have been, that the building had become somewhat dilapidated and the services there weren't up to par. And if anyone should get the best services in the medical field, it should be those who are there because of the price they paid. They shouldn't get second-rate service. They should get more than first-rate service, as good as we can possibly give them. And that's why Walter Reed was such a big story, because we just assumed, oh, that's a good hospital. But, and they were still doing good things, but they were low on funding, low on resources, and couldn't necessarily provide all they needed to, all that those soldiers deserved to be provided with because of what they gave up. And, of course, there are those who pay the ultimate cost, those who paid with their very lives. And I mentioned to Frank about, I made sure this is okay with him, but Frank was in Vietnam. He served in the Vietnam War, and one day his commanding officer came over to him, told me he had bad news, and Frank had to go unzip the body bag and identify his brother, who was serving in Vietnam as well. He lost a brother there while he was there as well, and it was his job to even identify the body. And Frank, that sent him in a direction spiraling in some ways that took a long time to pull out of. He'll tell you he's a recovering alcoholic for many years, and it all points back in many ways to that experience of the loss of his brother. And so much pain, much sacrifice, and we owe them. We owe Frank's brother's name is Dennis, I think. Have you made a ribbon yet? We'll be sure and make one before we're done. In his honor, and one in Frank's as well, and Ron's and Roger's and all our servicemen. Monday, that we just handed out the papers to. That's a thank you. That shows in a small way a debt of gratitude we can never pay back. Just a small token. And this is just a small token of what we owe those who served our country. Now, having said that, we recognize our country is not perfect. We recognize our country has made grievous mistakes. And even in the attempt to defend freedom, sometimes we have infringed upon the freedoms of others. And we have not always been the best country or nation that we should have been. And some of the decisions that were made in regard to military and other ways, we've committed crimes that some we've paid for, maybe some still yet to have paid for. And so I'm not saying that our government's perfect. I'm not saying that all the wars were just right, just the way they should have been. Wars are never just the way they should have been. Even World War II, which had an obvious enemy and an obvious fight, still had hard judgment calls, like the dropping of the two bombs on Japan. War is never clean. War is never simple. War is never straightforward. And you can't say that it's good. It's not good. And any soldier, I think, will affirm that. At the same time, judgment calls have to be made and service has to be given. And we are indebted to those that are willing to give them. And so we're not necessarily building up our country and say, oh, how wonderful all the things America's ever done. No. But that we owe those who have served America, we owe them a great deal. And we appreciate more than we can say their service and what they've done, and especially the sacrifices that they've made. Because if anybody should know about sacrifice, it should be us. as Derek mentioned, for the Lord's Supper. Now, we're the ones who have a long tradition of sacrifice. The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon that cross. But then countless martyrs we can read about. Those who, for the name and for the kingdom that they were a part of, the kingdom we're still a part of, our citizenship isn't down here, it's up in heaven. But that kingdom has seen its fair share of struggles and hardships. And there have been those who paid the ultimate price to affirm their allegiance to our Lord and to our Savior. And of course, the ultimate price He Himself paid on the cross as the one that changed everything. His service. Because He was a king. He was serving a king. He was serving His king. Called to be the next king. Called to be a king Himself. He was in service to His king. And so, He was serving His country. And yet His country didn't want anything to do with Him. And that's many of the stories that are told, especially about the Vietnam War. Men who went and served this country and came back and the country had very little patience or interest in them. And even dishonored them rather than honoring them the way that they should have. Because Vietnam wasn't a perfect war. Maybe some bad decisions were made, but we still owe a debt of gratitude to the ones willing to serve and to answer the call. And even though some were drafted, and still we owe them saying thank you. Thank you for being willing and for doing what needed to be done. But we serve a king who was rejected by his countrymen. A servant perfectly serving his kingdom in every way that was called on him. In every way that God asked for service of Christ, Christ fulfilled it. Never lacking, never even coming close to lacking, but when going above and beyond the call of duty, and yet his own nation rejected him. And not just rejected him, they found a way to abuse him, to punish him, to torture him, and to kill him. And one of the things about the cross, we see then in the movie The Passion and other movies similar, that the physical suffering of Jesus is often what's emphasized. And that's not really emphasized in the Bible. It's there. Just that going through the ordeal of crucifixion, the Romans were good at causing pain. It was their torture chamber, this cross. It's what they used to keep anyone from wanting to become a criminal because no one wanted to go through that. And so the device of the cross was intended to cause pain, long pain. It was intended to draw out the death process as long as possible. That's why they were willing to offer him wine up on a sponge. Well, make him just a little bit comfortable so that he lasts longer so that we get a better show. It wasn't a compassion that did it necessarily. It was more just the extension of the suffering, the extension of the torture. Well, even with all that, the Bible really doesn't focus on the physical suffering of Christ, of the physical pain that he endured. What it focuses on is the mocking. And that to me is most, it's such an affront to who Christ was. For them to stand there and say, ha ha ha, you're a king, wear this crown of thorns. You're a king, put on this robe. You're a king, hold this reed as a rod in your hand. Ha ha ha, you're a king. And of course, the irony, which has no humor in it whatsoever, is the fact that he was a king. A greater king than they could ever even have comprehended. And here they are mocking him for that title. Insulting him. He has given nothing but good service to his kingdom. Nothing but perfect service to his Lord. And there he stands at the end and he is ridiculed and berated and mocked for it. As he is about to go to the cross and suffer and die. That the throwing out of those words, I can try to put myself in the place of Christ a little bit. We all maybe try to empathize with that moment on the cross. We just try to. We can't even come close. But to think that I am truly the Son of God, to think that I would be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and then tell me, come down from that cross if you can. how? No. I know what I would have done. I would have come down from that cross and showed them just exactly everything I could have done. But Jesus didn't. And we're told he could have called legions of angels as if he would have needed them. He's the Son of God. He's the one that in him all creation was made, through him. He didn't need 12 legions of angels, but he could have called them and used them and done whatever he, you know, the sword that comes out of his mouth that strikes down the nations that we read about in Revelation. That could have all been fulfilled right there on the cross, but he just hung there instead. Whenever they said, no, let the Lord save him. Let Elijah come rescue him. He trusts in God, let God save him. And it was his trust in God that had put him there. So, we know. We at least have a great example of sacrifice. Someone willing to suffer the physical sacrifices, someone willing to suffer the non-physical ones. The ones that were even more cruel and unjust in many ways. And he was willing to suffer them for us. And he responded to that sacrifice with seven words. There are seven things Jesus said on the cross. If you combine Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. While he was up on the cross, he'd said seven things. And the thing about saying something on the cross, it wasn't easy. Research I've seen, I haven't done myself, but read about and seen and looked at, and what I've heard is that part of the agony of crucifixion was the fact that the way that the body hung on the cross made it hard to breathe. And that in order to take a good breath, you had to pull up on those hands and push down on those feet in order just to... So it was a continual process of pulling up and down on where they had driven in the nails. Again, the Romans were very good at torture. They made you torture your own self in many ways. And that was part of the crucifixion. And so whenever Jesus said something on the cross, a great amount of effort went into it to draw in a deep enough breath in order to speak those words. And so the seven things he said on the cross, it's amazing, they're actually for our benefit. They're for the benefit of those around him even. He didn't just raise himself up on the cross and get in his last two bits, you know, saying, well, your guys are going to get it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He had to actually endure pain to get those words out. He actually had to endure pain to even say, I thirst. It seems rather simple, but we're told that he said that to fulfill Scripture for our benefit. He endured pain to say, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. When he basically gave his mother away to the disciple John for him to take care of her. And it took pain for him to say, today you'll be with me in paradise. The criminals on the other crosses, they had endured pain to scold Jesus even, to get in on the harassment, to get in on the fun. But one of them had defended them and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise. Into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. And it was. And then what Ethan read for us, and I'll try my best at it, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, but Ethan's pretty close as well, whatever. I can't pronounce ancient Aramaic. No one can, it's a dead language. But we know the translation because we're giving it to it. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the one that we maybe wrestle with or try hard to understand, and there's lots of different possibilities in regard to understanding that, but I think that one's still for our benefit. He didn't say it for his own sake, he said it for our sake. Because there's a psalm. Psalm 22. It starts with those words. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then it goes on to talk about, they pierced my hands and my feet. My tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. No. Bulls have encircled me. That they're trying. No, this is a psalm of someone being attacked and torn down and, you know, devoured by predators and completely overcome. And it perfectly shows Jesus up there on that cross. So I don't think he just said it just to say it. Or even said it just for him. He said it for us. So we know sacrifice. At least we should know sacrifice through our Lord and through our Savior. The thing about a serviceman who served our country, none of them were perfect. Pretty sure. Roger? No. None of them were perfect. As a matter of fact, another thing that Frank will gladly share with you is that the reason why Frank was in the Army is that Frank grew up in New York and had some run-ins with correctional facilities. And at the age of 17, the judge pretty much had seen him so many times, he said, "Marks, I'm done with you." 16. You were 16. "I'm done with you, Marks. You can either go to prison or go to war. You go to prison or go to Vietnam." Well, his brother was there. His brother Dennis was there. So he decided to go to war. And he saw lots of combat. Was missing in action for a while. Even a POW for a few hours. Captured. And so, but no, we see imperfection. And we see that, you know, no soldier in the history of this world has ever been perfect. Ever had the perfect motivations or done everything just the right way, but that doesn't change the fact that we owe them, that we're grateful to them, and that they deserve our respect and our honor and our prayers. But we do have a soldier, a champion who was perfect. We have one who, again, served his country, served us perfectly, giving service even when it hurt because of his love for us, his care for us. And we owe him not just our honor and our prayers, we owe him our allegiance. We owe him the title of he is now our King and our Lord and our Savior and our Master. And this Memorial Day, I hope that we give all the honor we can to those who deserve it, but your whole life through, give the honor and the allegiance and the commitment to Christ, because there's no one that deserves it more than him. And so if you need to do that this morning, if you need to make him your Lord, make him your King, be immersed in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, or if you need anything at all, won't you come as you stand and sing.